Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, May 3rd. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey opened a tip line to try and get proof of abuse in the name of transgender care. He got the opposite.
I felt like it was a hunt to find or get evidence of something that was unfounded.
St. Louis Public Radio producer Danny Wisentowski obtained thousands of pages of what was submitted to the email address last year. We'll hear what he found coming up on The Gateway. A Gasconade County, Missouri man has been found guilty in the 2020 killing of a St. Louis police officer. Jurors deliberated for about 3 hours yesterday to reach the verdict in the case of Thomas Kinworthy. He faced 9 felony charges, including murder, for the death of Tamaris Bohannon. The seriousness of the charges means Kinworthy will automatically be sentenced to life in prison. In August 2020, Kinworthy broke into a house in the Tower Grove South neighborhood and ordered the homeowners to leave. He then fired on officers who were responding to a 911 call the homeowners had made about a shooting in the alley behind their house. Bohannon was killed. His partner was not seriously injured. Kinworthy's attorneys had admitted their client shot the officers, but had argued he was mentally ill. Less than one-third of local governments, by the end of 2023, had spent any money received from a massive settlement with opioid manufacturers and distributors for their role in the opioid crisis. That's according to a report from the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fentum reports it's been more than a year since the first payments from the settlement began arriving in local coffers.
Missouri's set to receive hundreds of millions from the settlements. The state and 150 local governments are receiving funds over the next 2 decades. That money must be used for treatment, prevention, and other addiction abatement. According to the state, local governments had used just 11% of settlement funds by the end of last year, and two-thirds of local governments hadn't spent any funds. Shelley Weitzman is an addiction policy expert at the Georgetown Law Center. She says sitting on the huge monetary windfall isn't necessarily a red flag.
We actually don't always want to see a rush to just get the money out the door without taking a closer look at where could it be most maximized.
St. Louis, Jefferson, Franklin, and Phelps counties had not yet spent any of the settlement payouts. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The group seeking to put abortion access in the Missouri Constitution says they have enough signatures to put the question on the ballot. Missourians for Constitutional Freedom is the campaign behind the Abortion Rights Initiative petition. The group recruited thousands of volunteers and raised millions of dollars in the effort to legalize abortion up to fetal viability in Missouri. Now, organizers say they've collected more than the required 171,000 signatures before the deadline this weekend. They're planning to deliver the signed petitions to the Capitol this morning, where they must now be verified by the Secretary of State's office. And a group advocating for sports betting to be legal in Missouri has submitted twice the number of signatures required to put the issue before voters. The Winning for Missouri Education Coalition says they turned in more than 340,000 signatures yesterday to place sports betting on the ballot. The signatures must now also be verified by the Secretary of State's office. According to the proposed constitutional amendment, sports wagering would be regulated by the Missouri Gaming Commission. It would be taxed at 10%. The money generated would go towards education. The issue could go on either the August or November ballot. The meat processing company Tyson Foods was responsible for more than 370 million pounds of pollution between 2018 and 2022. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmidt reports on the findings in a report released this week by the Union of Concerned Scientists.
The analysis looks at public data on pollution from Tyson plants that have to have a discharge permit from the US EPA. It finds a majority of the pollution happened in Nebraska, Illinois, and Missouri. Omanjana Goswami is one of the study's authors.
A large part of the pollution is kind of clustered around the Mississippi River basin. Eventually, a lot of this flows into the Mississippi River, which then finds its way into the Gulf of Mexico.
The study identifies 30 pollutants Tyson released, including millions of pounds of nitrogen and phosphorus. Goswami says those nutrients can contribute to the hypoxic dead zone in the Gulf. A Tyson spokesperson says the company works to run its operations responsibly and mitigate environmental impacts. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey opened a tip line last year to get information about care of transgender people that could be considered abusive or illegal. St. Louis On the Air producer Danny Wisentowski submitted a sunshine request for what was sent in during the first 48 hours it was open. He spoke with Elaine Cha about what he found, that most of the input was in favor of transgender care and critical of Bailey.
We received 3,714 pages of records in response to my request. That's a lot to come in 48 hours. There were hundreds of email responses that were in those thousands of pages. There were parents, there were kids, there were some people who identified as doctors. There were a lot of people who just responded to Andrew Bailey to insult him.
So this tip line then, it did ask people to report troubling practices, including examples of abuse and harm from gender-affirming care. Did he get what he was looking for, Danny?
Based on the responses that we've gotten in this sample, he did not. The vast majority of these messages are telling him how off-base he is in language that I cannot repeat on the radio. A lot of them were accounts of how gender-affirming care had helped their own lives or the lives of their children. There were a number, I'm talking about 2 to 3 responses that, you know, were critical of gender-affirming care. There was one case of a person who said they did receive bad care at this particular gender clinic. They said it was a case of bad informed consent. I did reach out to this person to try to understand what had happened, but I did not hear back. But that single email is the only one in all of these thousands of pages that even gets close to what Andrew Bailey was looking for.
One of the responses that was received was from Becky Hormuth. She's the mom of a 17-year-old son who is trans. And she told us that the tip line terrified her.
I was afraid of it not just for our family and my child in general, but for all transgender individuals in Missouri. I felt like it was a hunt to find or get evidence of something that was unfounded. What he is doing is harmful. It's harming my family. It's actually impeding on my rights, my husband's rights, in order to parent our child in the way that we feel is best. And in the end, it's going to be very, very detrimental to a lot of people, not just my family and my kiddo, but a lot of others that could be affected. And I don't feel like that he intentionally, or the people in his office that were helping navigate through that tip line, were conscientious, or nor did they care.
Several of the parents kind of pointed out that the reality of what it is to get this care is not something that Andrew Bailey seems at all interested in. There was one person who said they had a trans family member who has been getting that care, and their mental health changed so greatly for the positive when they got that care, and that this has hurt no one. A trans person said they received excellent care from the Washington University Transgender Healthcare Program, but politicians who know nothing about that care or their transgender health needs have decided to throw the full force of government to stop that care. In a way, he got exactly what he was asking for. He got attention to this, and he received a lot of responses. And at some point, it goes down, and his office says that it had been hacked. Trying to figure out what hacked means in this case is a little difficult, but one of his spokespersons said, rather than standing by their supposed science to back up their facts, they're resorting to try to hack our system to silence victims of the exact network we're attempting to expose. And that statement has a lot in there, but it shows, I think, the office's perspective on gender-affirming care, this mm-hmm. supposed science. They do not respect it. They do not listen, you know, the voices of medical providers, parents. That is not who Andrew Bailey is listening to on this point. And the other point that is brought up in that explanation, the notion that there are multiple victims, that is not something that Andrew Bailey has produced.
That was St. Louis On the Air producer Danny Wisentowski speaking with host Elaine Cha. You can hear more of their conversation on our website, stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Have a nice weekend.